Hello and welcome back to Voice of the Parrot. I'm your host, Shasta Ray, and I am joined in the studio tonight by a sleeping giant dog, he had a long day, and Murray, the big baby cockatiel. And this episode, I would like to just take a minute to acknowledge that this was, sometime during the month of April, was Mike the Rescue Bird's fourth birthday. I don't know exactly when his birthday was, I just know he was hatched out somewhere in the area of April of 2020. So, yay for Mike the Rescue Bird! Oh my gosh, he is just the cutest little man, and he just fits into my flock so perfectly. If you haven't heard his episode, you can go back and listen to it. But basically, I bought him kind of on a mistake, but not really a mistake. I had got Cricket, and when I purchased Cricket, there was a bird in the cage with him that looked a lot like Mike. I got Cricket in October, a year and a half ago. And in January, a little over a year ago, I saw a bird at the bird store that I thought had been Cricket's cage mate. Well, it turns out that they had just started their facility as kind of a bird rescue where people could drop off birds. And Mike was one of the first birds that had been surrendered there. So I was the first person to adopt a surrendered bird, and they were all excited and giddy about it. And he was considerably older than I thought he was. So I thought he had been unpurchased merchandise. But really, all they told me was that a woman with a whole lot of kids came in and said she didn't have time for the birds, and she had four of them crammed into one cage and surrendered all of them. And they'd only been fed seed the whole time. She never fed them anything healthy, I guess. And that's how I came to have Mike. I had no idea he'd been in that situation. He still always looks very freaked out and kind of acts freaked out. You can tell he acts just a little bit different than my other budgies, but he runs around and plays with them and fits in just really well. Everyone likes him, no fighting. And he's become a really cute little lovely member of my flock. And he and Cricket are the only two birds in my flock that share a cage. They get along so well, and they always have, that they share space together. So, yay for Mike! I just love that little guy. As for Murray, coming up here in 3 days will be his, I guess people tend to call it a gotcha day, and it's the day that I took him home from Mile High Parrot Supply. So I've had him in my care for right at a year. He is still just the snuggle bunny of a bird. He's a big old puppy. He's very loyal, and he's with me all day, every day. He is just the cutest little fellow, and I'm very lucky to have all the birds that I do, and they are so individual. He's sitting here playing with my headphones right now, but I have some spray millet up on his play stand and fresh water, and he doesn't even want to eat anything. He just wants to hang out with me, and that's what he's become. He talks and he sings and he plays, and he's been inventing games. And, you know, each of my birds has been so fascinating in the aspect that the longer I've had them, the more their personalities have emerged. And then Murray, of course, he's my only cockatiel, but he's my first bird of a different species. And, of course, cockatiels are a little bit different than budgies. And he's starting to really hit maturity. He's starting to do some silly stuff. And he's been inventing his own games lately that he plays with me. So I might talk about that on another episode. But yeah, happy birthday to Mike. He's 4 years old. He's the oldest member of my flock. And happy gotcha day to my little Murray. He's so cute. All right. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, in light of having these two little fellows in my life, as well as all the other birds, I am always so thankful that I have them. And I pamper them. And I fret over them, and I'm always worried about their well-being. And so I thought, you know, if you guys care about your birds the way I care about my birds, let's talk about some household dangers that everybody should be aware of to keep their little feathered friends safe. We don't want any accidents happening or oopses or tragedies. Oh my gosh, how heartbreaking is that? And there's a lot of different things. Some of them are even sold in your favorite bird stores, and you just shouldn't go there at all. I mean, go to the bird stores, but just don't go there with some of these toys. So Let's take a look here. I printed some stuff off the internet and I came up with a few of my own. And let's just start with a couple common ones that everyone knows about. First one is nonstick cookware, specifically Teflon. Teflon, when you cook with it, gives off these invisible gas type emissions, and they are particularly toxic to all birds, which means they're probably not good for you either. And we do not need them, all right? There's actually, you can get ceramic cookware now that's not, it's a nonstick, but it's not like Teflon. It's a different substance. It's ceramic. It doesn't have that off-gas problem. And hand in hand with that, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you've got a self-cleaning oven, that is toxic as well. And you can't just put your bird in another room because these fumes can get from room to room. They creep across your house. You cannot see them. You cannot smell them. So you don't know exactly how quickly they permeate the rest of your house. So it's best if you just don't use anything like this at all. And it's been said that a brand new self-cleaning oven or a Teflon cooking pan of some sort, first time you use it, can actually kill a bird within 24 hours of using it. So it's very, very, very toxic to birds. And if you do suspect that you had an oops in this direction, it's best if you just load up your bird and get to an avian vet right away, just to be on the safe side. But go through your kitchen and make sure you don't have any of that. Very bad for them. Hand in hand with that, let's go into air pollution. There's all sorts of things that can pollute your air. So if you're a smoker or you use vapes, are now replacing cigarettes, cigars, pipes, that sort of thing, it's still very toxic to birds. And here again, don't just go into the next room. If you're going to smoke and you have birds, it's best to just go outdoors and not have it in your house at all. It's not good for them. Another off-the-wall thing that most people don't know about is brand new carpet. If you get brand new carpet in your house and it's the wrong kind of carpet, it can emit a gas as well as the glues that they use to install it. In some cases, not every case do they use glue, but some of those products can off-gas for quite a while, and that can harm, damage, kill your birds. So do your homework if you're going to be getting new carpet. If you're a smoker, if you're a vapor, all that. Check your cookware. And if you're planning on getting your first bird and you've got some nonstick cookware and you just don't know if it's Teflon or not, hey, you know what? Donate it and go get yourself some new cookware that's going to be safer and just be on the safe side, because most people throw away the packaging and then you may not know. Also in the kitchen, there's all kinds of stuff that can be very dangerous for your bird. And especially if you've got a very inquisitive, curious bird, oh my goodness, Murray has absolutely no interest whatsoever in my stovetop or my oven area. But if I'm doing something in that area, suddenly he's got an interest in it. And just the other day, I have I think it's a 1 gallon kind of like stew pot or a cook pot that I keep just on my stovetop because it's the only place it fits in my kitchen. And now nothing was being used, nothing was turned on, but I was doing something over by my stove and here comes Murray. He flaps over and lands on top of this pot. So had I been cooking something, he could have got his little feeties burned. Oh my gosh, you don't want that. You don't want to risk anything like that. I've mentioned on this podcast before that birds are attracted to things that look like cages, even if it's not a cage. And one day Murray was looking in my refrigerator and he decided to check out the refrigerator rack. And I thought, well, gosh, that kind of looks like a bird cage. And what's inside everyone's ovens? Wire racks. They look like bird cages. So even if you have never seen your bird go near your oven and you're going to check on something or you have it open for some reason, if you've got a curious enough bird, it's very possible it could go want to see what's in there. So just keep your birds out of the kitchen when you're cooking or you're baking or you're doing any of that. Also, if you're doing any kind of food prep, make sure that you have a safe place to put your dirty knives or just wash them and put them away right away. Sometimes the birds like to jump down in the sink, especially if you've got a bird that takes baths in your kitchen sink. And if you've got sharp objects in there, you don't want it to accidentally get cut or hurt on those sharp objects, so be very careful. Moving right along to bathrooms. Keep the toilet lid down. And, you know, that will also remedy that lifelong fight between men and women about the toilet seat. So have a rule that if you have to lift it up to use the toilet, you have to put it back down. So if all you have to lift is the lid to use the toilet, put it back down. If you lift the lid and the seat, put them both back down. But if you've got especially the smaller parrots and the smaller birds or finches, canaries, and maybe you clip their wings, or you have parakeets and you clip their wings or something, and they're not quite as in control as they would if they were fully flighted, it's very possible they could land in a toilet. And they're not good swimmers. They could drown, they could get exhausted and drown. You just don't want to go there. And same with taking a bath. If you use bath oils, if you use any kind of fragrances, anything like that in the bathtub, you don't want a bird that's going to end up falling into the tub, especially if you take really hot baths. That temperature difference is not good for them. It could hurt them, it could kill them, and if they get too stressed, it could kill them also. I don't think that's a real common thing, but it is a possible thing. Cricket actually alerted me to something the other day, and I've thought about this. I've seen people say this in forums and stuff in the past. It's been a while. But doors, indoor doors, so like just to a room. Sometimes birds like to fly up on top of a door and sit there, perch there. And if you're not thinking and you're not looking up, you might shut that door and hurt its little feeties. Oh my gosh, how terrible would that be? That makes me cringe just thinking about it. But sometimes instead of flying away, a bird will just hang on tighter, especially if you catch it off guard. And if you shut that door rapidly and that bird is hanging on, oh my gosh, you could break its toes, you could cut its feet. So always look up, make sure you don't have any passengers on the top of a door before you shut it. Same goes for doors and windows outside, to the outside. Birds are naturally attracted to go outdoors. So if you don't want to lose your bird, be very careful if you have a bird that's flying around your house. Make sure you know where it is. And don't open up a front door or a door to the outside unless you know that bird is behind a closed door in another room somewhere. That's the safest way to do it. And I've mentioned this in the past. Sometimes your best friends or family members may come to visit, and they are just not bird-minded. So they're not going to stop and think about it. They may acknowledge the fact that you've got birds indoors, but they'll just walk right in and leave the front door open and let it stand there that way, and they don't think. So if you've got people coming and going, make sure your bird is safe, put it in its cage, put it in another room with the door shut, whatever you got to do. Some windows can present a problem with small birds. And even if you've got a screen on your window to the outdoors and you've got the window pane up, there is a gap between that window pane and the screen, and if you get a curious little bird like a budgie or a lovebird or one of those smaller ones that can go over there and then climb up that screen, sometimes they can get stuck between that window and that screen and not know how to get out, and you're not going to know how to get it out either. So it may not kill the bird, but it could present one heck of a problem getting that little guy back out. So just be mindful of that too. Windows can be a problem if you've got a bird that freaks out and flies into them. They can get very hurt. They can break their necks, and they can kill themselves if they hit it hard enough. So I'd mentioned a few months ago, I went and got one of those window insulation kits, and you put this tape around the outside of the window, and then it's got a plastic film, and you tighten it up with a blow dryer. That has been awesome. Murray has had a couple of freakouts where he went flying around and he tried to fly through one of my big windows, and it gives a really nice little cushion. It has some bounce to it, so he'll hit it and kind of just bounce off of it and he's unharmed. It may not be a perfect solution, but it's better than hitting that window. You can also hang things up, like maybe a fishnet, or put stickers or things like that on the window that kind of give an indication that there's something there. And sometimes there's species of birds that are smarter than others and may remember, but if there's something hanging there or indicating that there's a surface, sometimes they won't gravitate towards it so much. Ceiling fans, big problem. If you have that ceiling fan running and you've got a bird flying, oh my gosh, you can only imagine. So try not to have ceiling fans. And if you've got to have a ceiling fan in your home, make sure it is shut off when you get your bird out of the cage. You have to have a little bit of self-discipline and a little bit of forethought for some of these things. Of course, if you keep houseplants, make sure that they are not toxic to birds. That could be a big danger. Electrical cords. If you've got a bird that likes to chew on rubbery things and plasticky things, and especially the stronger the beak and the more destructive they are, you don't want them chewing on a live wire and electrocuting themselves. So be very cautious about that. Lead or zinc poisoning. Make sure that if you have anything made out of lead or zinc, that the birds cannot get a hold of it or chew on it. Lead especially, because it is soft and they can dent it and stuff with their beaks, and it's kind of interesting of a substance to play with, but you don't want them even going near it. Lead poisoning is no fun. It will kill your birds, and you don't need much. All they need to chew on it is get it in their system a little bit, and it can affect them. Some zippers on your clothes, the teeth on zippers, can be made out of zinc. Zinc is also toxic to your birds, so be aware of that. Chemicals. Lots of different chemicals, aerosol sprays, anything that can get in the air, things that are artificially scented, not good for your bird's respiratory system. Some things can affect their health adversely or kill them. And one thing that a lot of people just don't stop to think about is cleaning products. So a lot of cleaning products are made with all kinds of chemicals, all kinds of fragrances. All of that is artificial. It's all chemical. A good alternative to cleaning products would be vinegar and water, just good old vinegar and water. And you don't need a lot of vinegar in the water to do a bang-up job cleaning whatever it is you're cleaning. If you really, really, really want a little bit of fragrance in there, 1 to 2 drops, and that's it, 1 to 2 drops of lavender essential oil is fine. But it's probably best if you skip it. Lavender is not going to hurt your birds. There are some very toxic essential oils out there, so you have to be careful with that too, especially if you're somebody that likes to put them in one of those diffusers. Your days with that are probably done. And things that can be very healing to a human can be very toxic to a bird. Now, here again, if you're just going to be scrubbing your floors or something and you have a big bucket of water with vinegar in it, you can put 1 to 2 drops of lavender oil in it and you're probably going to be just fine. It's not going to hurt anything. If you're somebody that's really out there listening to this freaking out, then hey, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying that's probably not going to have any kind of health endangerment to your birds. If you're really worried about it, just skip it, and that's okay. Now, let's talk a real quick bit about some stuff that you may accidentally get for your birds and not know that it could be harmful. And there's just a couple of things. So you go to your local bird store or your local pet store, and you're going to pick up some bird supplies, and you see one of those cute little happy huts, and oh, it's just such a cute little thing to put in their cage for a bed, right? Just don't even go there. They're made with this plush fabric that not only can trigger your bird hormonally, and that's really not good for your bird, they don't need them. They do not need a place to hide and go into. But a lot of birds will, over time, or at some point in time, start chewing on the fabric. Well, it's made with like a fuzzy plush fabric, and those little microfibers and the fibers from that will go down their throat and get impacted into their crop. And it may not be overnight, it may be over a little bit of time, but once that happens, those little fibers won't pass through them. They'll just collect in their crop, and then it'll get like an impact kind of thing going on. And you have to have that surgically taken care of. The smaller the bird, the more detrimental it can be to have it go through a surgery. They don't really do well with surgeries. And it's best to just avoid that. So even though you may see it in a bird store or a pet store, it is not a good product. And some people will argue, well, I've never seen my bird chew on it. I've never seen this or that. You don't know when your bird may or may not be chewing on it when it's nighttime. All right. You don't know. And then here again, they can trigger hormones, and that can make your bird aggressive and all sorts of problems in that direction. So it's best to just say no to the happy huts. There are little spray millet holders that you can get and put in your bird's cages. And it looks like a big spiral of metal, almost like a big spring kind of thing. And you put the spray millet down in there, and then you've got the gaps between the wire that the bird is supposed to peck and eat that spray millet. Well, budgies in particular can be very inquisitive and weird and do silly stuff and do crazy stuff. And if that millet holder is positioned just right, your bird could go down into it, and then they can't back out of it. And they will get stuck there. And that is not a good thing. So just avoid that. You know what I use is I just use a binder clip to clip it to the side of the cage. And that works great. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need anything crazy. But avoid those weird spring-looking millet holders. Not good. The smaller the bird, the more detrimental it could be for its health. Another thing that you do not want to purchase for birds that is supposed to be for birds, but it is not good for parrots. They don't need it. It's not necessary. And it's not going to be on the warning label. In fact, they have pictures of parakeets and cockatiels and stuff like that on the labels, are containers of grit. And the old school mentality used to be that, oh, well, you have to feed your bird grit so that it can grind up the food that it eats. They don't need that. It's been proven over and over and over. They don't need it. And much like the fibers from the happy hut, that grit will accumulate in their crop and it won't pass and it creates problems down the line. So just don't provide it for them. It's not necessary, but you still see it a lot in bird shops. And I don't know why, like, a specialty bird shop would even carry it, but they do. So just avoid that. This one kind of goes without saying, but there's a lot of videos out there on YouTube, and people try to get clickbait, and they try to get attention and whatever they're after, popularity, and they show their bird playing with a cat, or they show their bird playing with the dog, or whatever. And there's a lot of people out there that keep birds and other animals, but if the other animal is a predator-type animal, your bird may not be entirely safe. I would not combine these two animals just to get clicks on videos or pictures or anything. And even if you've got a cat that grew up with a bird and it's not really aggressive, but it's got its claws, even if they're playing and they even extend their claw a little bit and they nick that bird with a claw, they've got bacteria and stuff unique to them. They're digging in their cat litter box, and the bacteria on their claws can get into your bird, and it will act like a poison. It's very toxic. It's very infectious, and you're going to have a problem very quickly. Now, I've heard of birds surviving this, but why go there in the first place? I would just say just try to keep them away from each other. It's not always a bright idea. One animal I would never have around a bird would be a ferret. And they're in the weasel family. They're not a natural animal. They're a domesticated form of polecat. And they were actually created for hunting purposes originally. But they're a domesticated animal, and people keep them for pets, but they still have a lot of instincts in them. And birds are one of their prey animals. They love chicken. So I have heard, it's been a few years, but somebody got a ferret. They had parakeets. And they got a nice double stack Critter Nation cage or Ferret Nation cage or whatever. And their parakeet was flying around their house, landed on top of that cage. And it wasn't but 2 seconds, and that ferret had grabbed that bird, pulled it down through the bars of the cage, and already killed it and was in the process of eating it. And that's very real. If you get a predator animal with a prey animal, just because you think it's cute doesn't mean it's going to end well. So just be very, very careful. And I've had ferrets in the past. I will never own a ferret ever again. I cannot stand ferrets. That was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my life. Some people love ferrets. If you're a ferret person, hey, go for it. Have all of them, as far as I'm concerned. I won't ever own one again, and now that I have birds, oh heck no. I won't even allow them in my house if a friend wants to bring one to visit. The answer's no, you're not bringing that in my house. It won't happen. Lizards, snakes, same thing. They have instincts, and they have a hunger. They have appetites, and I would not have a bird around a lot of these animals. So it just depends on the type of lizard, but most snakes are going to eat smaller animals, and they will constrict a lot of different types, not just boa constrictors, but there's a lot of different types of snakes that will constrict, and very, very quickly. All they have to do is get a hold of the animal, and that's, you're going to have a problem. Dogs are kind of hit or miss. Like, I've got Giant Dog, and he's a service animal, and he's very, very gentle with every animal I've ever seen him interact with. He is amazing, but he's half mastiff, and that's kind of where their headspace is. I would never leave him alone with my birds, just because I just don't. I'm in the habit. Am I worried? No, not at all. I'm not. He has no interest in them, and they have no interest in him. They get along. I've seen the parakeets land on him. Zoltan has ridden the dogs before. When Micro Dog was alive, he would jump on her back and want to go for a ride. It was the weirdest thing. But both of my dogs knew that they weren't to touch the birds, and they were very obedient about that. Giant Dog still is. But when I dog sit for my business partner, she's got a different type of dog that's very prey-driven, and all of the birds are in their cages with the doors shut and latched very securely. If she decides to bring her dog over, I know ahead of time, I prep ahead of time, and I would never allow that dog in my house without my birds being safe inside their cages. I just don't trust it. That particular dog chases birds and chases rabbits and catches them. So, yeah, you have to be careful. And you have to know your animals. If you are going to trust them together in any capacity, they have to be exceptionally well trained and very, very trustworthy in that capacity. And be very aware that sometimes dogs will know that if you're not in the room, they get to make up the rules then, and they will. So you have to be exceptionally, exceptionally, exceptionally careful. And like I said, I trust Giant Dog completely, but even Giant Dog, I just don't put the situation into motion that could possibly hurt any of my birds. Now, with Giant Dog, I think he's more of a danger of one of them running around on the floor and him stepping or sitting on them. He's very clumsy, and he doesn't look where he's going. So that's probably a bigger danger in my household, but at any rate, I'm still very careful and I'm very cautious, and I know where everybody is at all times. So I hope this has been helpful, and I would like to encourage everybody out there that hears this to take a look around your house. Make sure that it is bird-proofed. Is there anything sitting out that your bird could get hurt on? Is there anything sitting out that you may have missed or you didn't even think about? Have you taken a situation for granted that you didn't even know was maybe a danger to a bird? I'm going to toss a last one in here, and I mentioned it in relation to Bug once. Poor little Bug, he's an exhibition English budgie, and he flies a lot like a rock. He just is not built for flying. He's fully flighted. He's got all his feathers. But even then, when he tries to fly, the most I've seen him go is about 3 feet, and he's losing altitude the whole time. So he can flutter down to the ground safely, and he can get himself a very, very tiny distance, but not very far. Anyway, I took a garbage can into the bird room, and I was getting ready to clean cages. I got distracted, I left the room, and I was gone for maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes, and I went back in to start the cage cleaning process. And I heard a weird noise coming out of the garbage can. And it was Bug, and he had taken a nosedive off of the play stand and landed in the garbage can. And at first, he didn't do anything. He just sat in there, and I only heard him because he moved around and rustled some paper or whatever waste was in that garbage can. But that's another thing, is if they get in a garbage can, they can't get out. Most birds cannot just fly vertically straight up, and they're not going to be able to. So sometimes when they get in a situation like that also, they don't make noise. They just sit there because they don't know what else to do. So be very careful with that. When I first got Murray and he was learning how to fly, and he still does this on rare occasion, he'll get going and instead of making a U-turn, he kind of follows the walls around the house. And when he's in the kitchen, there's a back area, and if he goes through my kitchen and to this back area and just keeps following around, he ends up going down the stairs and into the basement, and then he doesn't know what the heck to do. But when he started learning how to fly, I had a lot of empty boxes down in the basement, and one time he ended up in one of the boxes, and it took me a couple minutes to find him. I knew he was in the basement, but I couldn't see him anywhere. And one of my first thoughts was, well, did he fly and land in something? Oh, he sure did. He was sitting inside of a box, and he had some tissue paper over top of him, so I never would have seen him. But here again, he kind of made a noise. He moved around in there, and I heard the rustling and found him. So be careful of boxes and garbage cans and that sort of thing also. These little animals are so precious and they're so sweet. They don't deserve to get hurt. They don't deserve to be in a bad situation or have any accidents happen to them. But here again, all parrot species of birds are wild birds, and they are not adapted to human life. Even if they're bred in captivity, it does not mean they're domesticated animals. And even domesticated animals can get themselves hurt on things. They just don't understand what certain objects are and what certain things are. But these little guys in particular have very delicate respiratory systems. They have very delicate little bodies. They have hollow bones, and they can get hurt easy. So we owe it to our birds to bird-proof our homes, make sure they stay safe, and make sure that they have good, enriching areas to play in, places that are designed just for them, and that you know where they are at all times. All right, I think that's all I got for this week, and Murray has just been sitting on my shoulder being a good boy this whole time. I am so proud of him. He's such a good little bird. And I guess all I have left to say is go play with your birds, go have a good time, and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.